I want to invite us into a time of just pausing and taking a breath together. We see in media around us that this week marks both the death of over 6 million people from COVID-19 globally, and this week also marks the death of 1 million people in our own country. And so I invite us to just take a breath as we turn to prayer. Loving God, who is our beginning and our end, I confess that too often I'm simply ready to move on. But so many in our world do not have that luxury. The depth and reality of over 6 million lives, 1 million in this country, cut short is too much for our hearts to take in. But your heart, God, feels each loss uniquely, and your broken heart makes space for all who grieve. And so we pause to hold a moment of silence with you, God, for those who have died in our world, for those loved ones who grieve, for the healthcare workers who still feel exhausted, for the distrust sown by conspiracy theories gone mainstream, for those jaded by pandemic's continued reality, and those driven deeper into addictions by pandemic's challenges, for the 13 children of yours who lost their lives this weekend to the terror of anti-Black racism, for their loved ones who awaken to this unimaginable news, for the insidious ways that white body supremacy malforms our hearts and simmers the world over. Meet us, redeeming God, with new life in this silence. God, who is always already with us as a comforting mother, we bring our weary selves to this place. God of hope and healing, we need you now. God, who is the giver of life and the conqueror of death, we need you now. God, from whom we come and to whom our spirits return, we need you now. So we offer this time and our lives in the name of the risen one who makes all things new. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to move from prayer into song.
If you ever need it. sweetheart. Come hungry. When the day wears on you like old denim overalls and you have soot on your face, that's when you'll know it's time. Dress up your self-doubt and those feelings of loneliness that you're not alone in. Not in disguise, but with something dignified. Bring them out of hiding with feathers or a crown of flowers and see if they transform there, in community. As you sit down to supper of fermented grain and fruit, tortilla, naan, pita, injera, rice, braid, and bun, you will be in good company, souls only longing to be seen. It's all temporary, this eternal remembering, and so practice, stitching quilts out of repetition. And I pray you'll come again soon, as you, and as different.
Good morning. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Avery Baker, and I serve both as the Sunday morning coordinator as well as our co-farm lead out at Table Farm. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and online at 9:30. So welcome to our friends that are viewing online. This morning, we continue in a worship series we are calling The Art of Gathering as Practicing Resurrection. Throughout the 50 days of the Easter season, we're journeying with John's gospel as we practice resurrection through the lens of a book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables. These are small groups which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. And each week we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbors, and also search scripture together with others. So normally our co-pastors sit up here to my left, but in light of Friday evening's choir recital, I think we have two new members of our music team here. Ain't that right, Professor Omari Tao? I kid. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. And if you would like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice faith here at the table, we encourage you to register today for our next six-week Growing in Faith series, which will be held online beginning Tuesday evening, May 31st, and it'll run until July the 5th. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of godly play at 9:30 on Sunday mornings and outside with loving childcare at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. As a community of faith, we reach in love in many ways. We encourage you to join a community volunteer shift out at Table Farm. We hold three volunteer shifts a week, Tuesday evenings, Friday mornings, and Saturday mornings. And so please note, we have some new hours, so if you've been volunteering in the past, we have adjusted our hours for the summertime heat, which we all are starting to feel this weekend. A note for those of us who are gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is there with you as a host. If you have any questions or need any assistance, please message Chloe directly or share that in the chat. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and to find a virtual seat in order to connect with others, much like we do on Zoom. Our administrative board is hosting a series of conversations called Salon Gatherings this month, and these will be both in person at Table Farm and online as well. And so while registration is full for gathering at the farm, we still have a few openings remaining for the online salon gatherings, and that'll take place today at 6 o'clock and next Sunday at 6 o'clock. So you can learn more and sign up online. If you would like to follow along with the flow of worship, just kind of get an idea of what's coming next, you can use the QR code that is right up here on the screen. There's also QR codes that are on the inside of the pews or on the outside of the pews as well. And if you would like to learn more about our community of faith or just stay in touch with us, you can text the word new to the number that you see there on the screen, or you can go to our website, thetableumc.org, and there's a pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and you can connect with us that way. So we will continue to move in our worship series, and I invite you to remain seated and join our voices in a hymn originally written in 1862. This is our version of There's a Wilderness in God's Mercy. Wideness, excuse me. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There's a wideness. Hello. I'd like to invite our young friends, if they would wish to, we've got loving childcare outside in the play yard. You're welcome to stay. But in godly play, it's out there. Encourage those here in the sanctuary and those with us online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen. This is John 13, 31 through 35, as recorded in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Humanity has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in God's self and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Word of the Lord.
It's a little over, well, hold on. Yeah. Okay. I think we're good. My good, Corey. A week ago and a day, we hosted a wedding. And Pastor Matt and I had the privilege of presiding over the marriage. We hosted it here in the sanctuary. It was a couple in our community. The guests began to arrive. And after signing the guest book, the coolest guest book I've ever seen, it was this big, and it was their family book. It was like my grandmother's ledger. It was this thick, and it was a fountain pen. Very cool. So everyone lined up to sign. And then they entered the sanctuary. And some of them looked around and chose a seat. And others looked around and just stood in the aisle. They gazed around the room. And I was standing back there near the baptismal font with the wedding planner. So we approached them to see if they needed, quite frankly, bathrooms, right? Signage. It's not always in here once people arrive. And here was their question. Which side is for the groom and which side is for the bride? And the wedding planner, not missing a beat, smiled broadly and quickly replied, "We are all on the same side. Sit wherever you want." Mm-hmm. So I did a little research. According to multiple sources, there is a reason the bride stands on the left. I didn't know this in all my years. There was a time, you see, when brides were kidnapped to be married. You can't make this up. And most of the grooms are right-handed. So the groom needed his right hand free, you see, to draw his sword in case the family burst in to save their daughter. And the best man was the one who had the best sword skills. I couldn't find anything about the maid of honor. Shocker. Shocker! Yeah, I looked through multiple sources just to make sure this didn't seem to be made up. I did not see that coming. As part of the ceremony, the bride and groom asked us to celebrate Holy Communion. Just like we do on Sunday morning, we prayed a prayer of confession. We shared God's peace, we broke bread, and we, Matt and I, served the bride and groom. And then they, in turn, shared God's feast with all of their guests. After the wedding, a number of guests approached me and Pastor Matt to let us know, and some of that happened here in the sanctuary even, it was that fast, how nice it was to hear everything explained. They were church people, but they noted that it felt so welcoming and that they had become aware of all the worry that was going on in their bodies in case anybody would feel left out. But because we explained everything, they were able to relax. At the same time, a number of people also approached us who had long ago given up church. This was later at the reception. And they said, "I stopped going to church a really long time ago when all the rules and the exclusions just became too much for me, and I haven't been back, and I don't think I will either. But this was not what I expected. This was different." When Priya Parker was a sixth grader in Northern Virginia, she begged her parents to let her be part of the junior cotillion, something I would flunk. Because she had been raised outside of the U.S. in her earliest years, her parents were really keen on sending her to things that seemed very American or would help them be very American. So, because they wanted her to fit in, and she says because she was an only child and she mostly got whatever she wanted, they agreed. Cotillion was a 3-year monthly curriculum which taught etiquette. And here's what she wrote in her book. The teacher, a South African woman, would roll out a table with a white tablecloth and show us proper table settings down to the precise placement of a wine glass. She explained the correct way to send a thank you note promptly and by including a specific detail of appreciation, what to do when you drop a fork at a restaurant, do not pick it up, and the steps of the foxtrot. I remember most classes ending with a formal dance lesson. And she also remembers really loving it, especially that dancing part. But then, after 3 years, she says she pretty much filed those etiquette lessons away in the back of her mind. She writes about etiquette like this. Within a certain social milieu or professional class, it's helpful to have a common set of norms and behaviors, and sharing this common code allows people to coordinate more easily, to avoid embarrassing one another, and to minimize the social risk of situations. The problem is that more and more of us do not live in closed circles of like-minded, similarly raised people. So how are we supposed to know how to behave? Welcome, she says, to the era of pop-up rules. And this is what she writes. It's no accident that rules-based gatherings are emerging as modern life does away with monocultures and closed circles of the similar. I believe the people who approached me and Pastor Matt after the ceremony were unconsciously really holding this. And in her own way, the wedding planner was clearly speaking into this when she announced, "We are all on the same side. Sit wherever you want." Our reading from John 13 follows immediately after the Last Supper and Jesus' washing of the feet of his disciples, the very ones who will betray him and deny him. And you might say that Jesus is creating a temporary alternative world through the purposeful gathering for a meal behind closed doors and thoughtfully hosting on behalf of his guests. And amid this temporary alternative world, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." I think that sounds like a brilliant pop-up rule. So we're now in the fourth week of this worship series. It's called The Art of Gathering as Practicing Resurrection, and we're holding the readings from the Gospel of John in conversation with Priya Parker's great book, The Art of Gathering, in hopes that we might find our way into deeper clarity about how the risen one longs for us to practice our faith by gathering well with others. And we've covered so far the foundations for a healthy gathering. Anchor your gathering in a meaningful purpose. Close the doors on the basis of that purpose, and be the kind of host who protects those who are in his or her care, their care. This morning, we're going to wonder about the most frequently asked question that Priya Parker receives. And here it is. Now that I have the basics down, how do I spice up my gathering? Here's her answer. Create a temporary alternative world. Etiquette allows people to gather comfortably when everyone is the same. Pop-up rules allow people to gather comfortably because they are different, yet open to having the same experience. In our reading, Jesus has gathered his people together because they are different and unique, yet open to having the same experience. He knows that he will not always be the one who gathers them into the future, and so he gives them guidance for how to continue this gathering into God's unfolding future for all of them. And I find it really interesting that the new commandment Jesus is sharing is, on the surface at least, not really new. Because commands to love are at least as old as the book of Leviticus, and that's really old. But what is new here, is found in the second phrase, "As I have loved you." At this point in John's gospel, the cross and resurrection haven't happened yet. So what's an example of how Jesus has loved them up to this point? One example is the way he's breaking bread with them. He loves them by feeding them and then inviting them to take this practice with them. And every time they do it, to remember Jesus and their Last Supper together. Another example is the way he washes their feet. And this is far from our etiquette-centered call to wash up before supper. You remember? I don't know, my mom said that. Wash up, supper's on the table. It is a distinctive, subversive, and surprising model, foot washing, in at least two ways. Foot washing upends conventional wisdom about social status, power, prestige. In the ancient Near East, servants would commonly wash the master's feet. But Jesus reverses this above and below rules. And second, the foot washing upends conventional wisdom about purity and impurity, what's clean and unclean. When Jesus explains, and that's earlier in the chapter, that the foot washing is going to allow Peter to have a share with me, a share with Jesus, or to participate in me, Peter is very enthusiastic, and he asks for a full bath, actually. And why does he do that? Well, we might initially think he wants a bigger share, like I want more. But theologian Matthew Meyer Bolton helped me this week. He writes this about that. Jesus's response, to Peter of "you're already entirely clean" suggests instead that what's on Peter's mind is a mistaken belief that he requires purification. And Jesus assures him otherwise, as if to say, don't doubt your worth or your propriety. I'm not washing you because you're unclean, but rather in order to demonstrate the kind of dignifying love I have in mind. You aren't greater than me, mind you, but neither are you lesser. I will call you not servants, but friends. I kneel and wash your feet to drive this point home, to set an example for you so you might go and do likewise for one another. Listen, I'm leaving and I'm entrusting my love to you. Take up my mantle, love as I have loved you, making friends, not servants, bridging divides between above and below, insider and outsider, clean and unclean. Pop-up rules transport us to a temporary and alternative world where people know what to expect, understand what is happening, and are thus able to fully participate and feel welcomed. And the pop-up rule Jesus shares with those he gathers is love as I have loved. This new commandment, love, defies expectations, transforms conventions, builds bridges precisely where no bridge is supposed to be possible. So, accordingly, it often takes us by surprise, kind of like Peter was surprised, and then upon reflection, it presses the question in for us, how might we love in this way? In our own context, whatever that is, in our community here and in all of our communities, who are considered low, unclean, unworthy, cast out? And how can we, with the Spirit's grace, be part of building bridges of love and friendship in unexpected and surprising places? All of the different and unique people who attended the wedding, it was Brittany and Ansel's wedding, gathered in this place to have a same experience. And the pop-up rules for where you sit, we are all on the same side, and how we share communion, all are welcome and you can't make a mistake, allowed them to do just that. There's something else I want to note before I close. It's a short sermon. Pastor Matt and I hosted the wedding on behalf of our community of faith. It's a short sermon because it's pretty to the point. We served communion to each other up here like we do, right? And then we served Brittany and Ansel, the bride and groom. And then the bride and groom became the hosts for all of their guests, sharing with them the love of Jesus as made known in the breaking of bread and passing the cup. And then Pastor Matt stationed himself in the center aisle there, directing the guests, pew by pew, letting them know when it was their turn to come forward. At the very, very end, after everyone had been served, there was a 3-year-old who came running down the aisle. Parents, right? Running down the aisle, and Mom was keeping up as best she could. As she zoomed past Matt, she said, "Well, we've never done this before. It's our first time. Here we go." And Ansel and Brittany, this makes me cry, knelt down, right? For this young guest. They knelt down. At its best, New Commandment love is humble enough to kneel down, to wash, to take the form of a servant, and at the same time, bold enough to protect, to connect, to overturn conventions, and let the surprising, beautiful glory of God shine through, especially enough so that a 3-year-old will come running. Amen? Holding this every Sunday, we come together to celebrate and create a temporary alternative world, friends, which is humble, I think, and bold at the same time. It's ordinary. We do it every week. But it's radiant. It's beautiful. It's a reconciling act to reconcile the world as we break bread and share the cup of God's love. Person to person to person, and by this love, Jesus says, by this love, the world is remade, and everyone will know that we are his disciples. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thinking of the many pop-up rules that God's people have learned through the generations that will experience the love of God when we're like a child, or that a child shall lead us. One of the pop-up rules that we continue to hold as a people of faith gathered here at the table is to pause for a moment of acknowledging the ways that we don't always kneel down before those 3-year-olds. Sometimes we walk right past. And God meets us wherever we are, walking past or kneeling down, and sees us as beloved. And the church has called this pop-up rule a prayer of confession. And it helps our hearts to get ready to join with all of our friends, all of creation, all of God's beloved children in this reconciling act. And so I invite you to stand, those in the sanctuary and those gathered online, to prepare your own hearts to be together in this time of communion. And I invite us to pray together with one voice these words of confession. God of radical love, we have carried the rules of the world in our hearts. We have chased our desires and clung to our fears. We have decided for ourselves who was welcome at your feast. We have neglected the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, and the sick. We have nurtured our grievances. We have ignored your call to love that remakes the world. For the harm we have done with our action and our inaction, for the hurt we have inflicted with our words and our silence, forgive us, we pray.
Hear these words of assurance. The table is a pop-up place where we can remember to suspend the judgments of the world as best we can and enter into God's rules of love. Experience the expansive and mysterious grace given to us all. God's grace springs forth from a love humble enough to kneel and wash, to take the form of a servant, yet bold enough to protect and connect and overturn convention. Let the surprising, beautiful, and radical love of God shine through you now. Take away from this gathering and into the world what is always true in every place. God loves us. God loves you with a love beyond measure and without regret.
Amen. May the people of God say amen. And I invite you to join with me in the call and response that is the church's practice, another pop-up rule for recognizing the actual belovedness of God in each and every neighbor that we encounter. So friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And God's hand reached to the sky and placed the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings began to make waves in the water. God reached to the sky and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is all good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people started to make rules about who's in and restricting by saying who's out. So God created a temporary alternative reality, placing Jesus on earth and inviting us then to follow God's unfolding grace by following in the ways of that servant.
He could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we were afraid. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him the best because the challenge was just too much. The principalities and powers converged in opposition to the way made known in life, love, and ministry of Jesus. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, promises us, that he will never leave us alone and would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us, what his coming and going and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and sing this mystery of faith. On that night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language most dear to your own heart.
Our Mother,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this place and spread throughout many. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And here in the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. All means all. You can't make a mistake. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will move outside and Avery will guide us in dismissing each pew one by one. And we encourage those at home to gather your juice and bread together now, whatever forms you might have nearby, to share in this sacred time of breaking bread. We are all God's children, and this is God's table open to all.
Amen. I invite us to be seated, and Avery will begin to move to help us. So friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you. Loving God, we give thanks for the depth of this holy mystery, this temporary alternative reality through which you are revealed to the world in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread. And so we offer this feast, this way of life, and our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. I want to encourage those that are praying to stay for as long as you need with the candles, and we will continue to move together in worship. We want to invite you to respond to God's love for you and for the world in the ways that you might feel led. We are aware that some spaces in this sanctuary feel cold, and other spaces in this sanctuary don't. And we're going to keep working on that. So we appreciate what your layering that you have to do here at the table. We are so grateful for the folks that have been inspired by the gift that we shared last week from Pastor Penny and her wife Bev, for the people that have given even more generously from their own resources in this last week to help our community of faith continue to align with God's love, and we are so grateful for that. And we want to encourage you, if you feel led, to respond to God's love by joining with others and helping us to shape our life together by giving generously. You can do that online. You can do that by texting as well. And sometimes, so here's what Avery was mentioning before. Over the last like 8 weeks, Linda and I did something that is so normal for choir people and musicians, but I've never taken a voice lesson or been in a choir. Couldn't tell you where middle C is on the piano. Brendan can attest to that. But we went to Professor Omari Tao's contemporary gospel choir class. We learned a lot of things. One of the things that I learned, especially during our show on Friday night, is that no matter what, when you practice it this way, that's funny, because it can be changed up. And that happened midway through multiple songs on Friday night as we were going. And it's going to happen right now. We were going to go out to a song called See the Love. It's a really beautiful song by The Brilliance, and we'll probably come back to it at some moment. But instead, we decided over the last like 2 minutes to talk together, and we're going to go out instead to a song called Love Like There's No Tomorrow. And so I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. And our musicians on 90 seconds notice are going to help us to go into the world.
Loving every night and day. Loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. Loving every minute and hour. Loving past our own power. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Thank you.
Ready for a drum circle and I will start dancing and we can all dance for an hour. But no, that's not the temporary world you really want. Go forth to love like there's no tomorrow. And what does that look like for you? I can't say, but Jesus says it's to love like he loves us. Go in peace. Amen.